It's very hard because the intertwined Jewish communities, the very rich people, unfortunately, usually are less religious, and they have the power, and they threaten synagogues, they threaten rabbis, they threaten, I can give you so many examples, I'll give you just one little example of that. A few years ago, when there was a big, I think by the Intifada, whatever, they've had a march in Washington in support of Israel. And they wrote like an organization, CRC. CRC maybe is the Zionist as such an organization, I don't know. But Central Rabbinical Congress is one of our organizations, a sister organization, like an Turek character. So they have, it's an umbrella group. In New York, it's very common. You see rabbis, many of their, the way they are able to sustain themselves is because they give supervision on to make that food should be kosher. They supervise, and that's how they support themselves. So CRC is a company that gives, it's a mother umbrella group that has I think around 100,000 members. They have, it's a very large, it's a group, CRC, and it gives stamps for kosher. And so many food products have CRC. And when they announced the Zionists that the CRC is joining them in this, you know, Israeli parade in Washington, so they put on, was WABC or W, one of the New York State, one of the big New York, every hour or something for a minute, they would say, we would like to know, people should know that we don't support the State of Israel, we don't support Zionism, so forth. It didn't take more than a week or two that every Jewish person that I knew almost got emails saying, you should boycott any store that has a CRC product. So what happens is you have hundreds of rabbis now who people, the owner of the store says, I have six children, I have 10 children, go to the rabbis, and people aren't buying by us because what, so they put pressure, they every type of pressure, that, and it worked, you know, so they stopped advertising. So they have it's very hard to come by to the minor community. We demonstrate, when they make the Israeli parade, we make a demonstration, of course. What happens is they tell the children, it says in the Torah, you shouldn't look at an evil person in the face, it can have bad effect. Don't look at these people, because the children want to ask questions. They're evil, you're not allowed to look at them. It's very hard to come. What we do is, we constantly put out our newsletters, we put out, in the very religious community, everybody knows it, and we try, and now we thank God everything has good to it, even though the web has immoral issues, but the internet, people start asking questions, and many people are awakening to the fact of what it's all about. I forgot to always, my associate here studied in Jerusalem. The elite, the Ivy League of schools, is one of them is Brisk, it's called. It's a Lithuanian school, not a Hasidic school. He studied there, and he could testify how many times he was beaten by demonstrations, as every other Jewish youth who stood up, and it's totally anti-Zionist, these schools, the elite is always, the more religious, the more anti-Zionist. And you can tell, like, people don't even know, they get beaten. You can tell, how many times were you in prison? 6 or 7 times. And, you know, he was there as a teenager studying. Yeah.
Here's a question, is that, how do you reconcile the yearning for God and land, Palestine, that you have, with what the Zionists claim?
Right. We don't yearn. The whole concept of a peace, like I said, people think that we're hoping that the Messiah will come, then we'll have a State of Israel. It's only a time difference. Totally not true. In our prayers, we are yearning for the revelation of God's glory, where the nations will all come together and serve God. And the Isaiah wall by the United Nations, they etch into the wall, there's like a conclave wall, famous wall, it says that they will beat the swords into plowshares, one nation will not pick up a sword against another nation, and the wolf will live with it. We hope and pray not that we should have a state, that the nations should all go up, and we will all go up and serve God in harmony. That will happen, we hope, soon in our days. But Zionism, of course, is a base materialism that's void of godliness. Not only that, we're fearful when the day will come, what will God do with these buildings that were built in corruption and, you know, who knows?
So, there's a follow-up question. According to Judaism, is the land in Palestine, the Holy Land, is it holy to the Jews as well, like you, is it a holy place?
Extremely holy. That's why I said all the generations, Jewish people would go up and live it was a dream of a person, a rabbi, when he felt he couldn't serve the community, he wanted to retire, he would go up there and live off his youth and bring like a few students with him. So it was the elite of Judaism, the most holy community throughout the generations lived there, and that's why like you have these still school systems there, that they're the elite of Judaism, because it's holy to us, but it's not an issue of yearning for sovereignty, of rule of the land, simply of serving God in the Holy Land, in His Holy Land.
There's a question that talks about the event that happened in Lebanon, especially the Ghana massacres and last year's resistance that happened by Hezbollah. What's your opinion about that, and how do you see that?
Unfortunately, that's just another link in a long chain of tragedies, of suffering. I mean, by the Lebanon War, we went out there and we marched. We were in Dearborn. I have pictures. We were in Dearborn, Michigan, and we were all over Montreal. Not only me, but I mean all my colleagues. And we went and we marched and we cried and spoke to, you know, to beg people that this is a terrible tragedy. I was actually in Lebanon. I have. We went to visit Sabra Shaltila, and we went to visit because, of course, you know, we don't feel, mind you, I know it's very controversial, not Hezbollah and not Hamas, contrary to all this baloney, they're not the haters of Jews. They're not aspiring to kill Jews. They simply want their right to their land, to what's properly theirs. And I met with many of their leaders. I don't know if you know Dr. Ahmed Yusuf, the thing I'm distributing here. He used to live in Washington, a very distinguished fellow. He became the advisor for the Prime Minister of the Hamas in Gaza. And he's a very, and all these people are, I mean, I felt their warmth. They're not, and we went to visit in Lebanon, and a part of the government is Hezbollah. It's part of the government. And they were our hosts over there. They took us around, they watched us with like the apple of their eye, and they were extremely friendly, and they kept, and we spoke, and there was no, and they were very clear and simple. You know, like you sometimes you have to go, sorry, you should know, I don't want to kill my neighbor. I don't want to kill. You say, what you wanted to kill? These people, the Hezbollah, they simply want what this. Why do they don't express their will, you know, to kill? Now, it's true that on the opening statement, I think of Hezbollah, Hamas, I don't remember, one of the two, has a statement that does say something like, throw them into the ocean, but it's not their will, it's not their people. I've met with them, and not only I, but people who worked in the United Nations, many people, it's a fact is that they're not interested, they respect Judaism, they respect the Jewish people, they're not out to kill Jews.
Thank you. So there's a question about you guys, is it a race or a religion? And is Jewish is in the blood that is one cannot convert to it, so concept of conversion?
That's an interesting question that'll take 2 minutes, I hope. You're not allowed, according to Jewish law, very clear law, we have to discourage somebody who wants to become Jewish. If somebody wants to convert to Judaism, we have to discourage them for two reasons. And it's a law, that's a fact. Because one reason is because we believe that God, as I mentioned earlier, even prior to Zionism, this concept of anti-Semitism, that there's God put into people to sometimes do things bad against Jewish people, hate Jewish people. We believe it's to remind Jews that they're not here for materialism, to remind them to repent, that they should remember they're here to be different, to study Torah, and to be a different type of a person, a person of close to God, not a cemented in materialism. That, so we say to a person, if you're going to convert, you're going to be calling upon yourself anti-Semitism. Do you really want that? Secondly, if a person, sometimes you look at Judaism and you see someone, we have our Sabbath guard, the Shrine, I don't know if you know it, it's different fur hats, and this is the Passover holiday, and this holiday, and it's so much, it looks so unique, so exotic or something. So people may convert to Judaism, and once you convert to Judaism, the law is, you don't have a 30-day refund policy. You converted, we believe you're just as much a Jew as anybody. As somebody comes from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and whatever, you're 100% Jew, and there's no such thing. Every time, if you decide to drop it, God forbid, then you're a sinner for every. So, like I mentioned earlier, every person, human being, will inherit the world to come if you don't kill, steal, commit adultery, idol worship. But if you accept Judaism, then you have to watch all 613 commandments. And if you don't, then you're a sinner. So we tell them, we're afraid, and it happens often. People will convert, and at the beginning they do it, but then it's very hard after a while, repetitious. Hard, and they start not, they're more lenient, so then they're a sinner. So we say, we try to tell them not to, but at the, that said, if they insist they want to, the law is there's no such thing as this group because of a color or creed or something. Anybody can become a Jew, has to be accepted, and he becomes a full Jew. I mean, I've many this year myself, I dealt with the conversion of maybe 10 Jews that I dealt with in the last few months. They got married, maybe they made the wedding, we helped them. But it's, that's the issue of conversion. I don't know if it was some other part of it, I don't remember. You said something else or something. Oh, so it's a mixture. The Judaism, if you're born from a Jewish mother, then you are Jewish. Now, if you're not practicing, you're sinning, you're not doing what's proper, and you don't believe in God, God forbid, or something like that, you're not counted as a Jew. And if he wants to, he's a sinner, he must repent. He must accept the Judaism, because that was, in other words, if you're non-Jew, you don't have to. On the contrary, we tell him not to. He has to believe in God, but not to. But if you were born from a Jewish mother, there's no such thing that you can free yourself out. And that, it's what would you call that, a race or something? But it's a religion, because you have to practice it, and anybody can practice it, even if you're non-born, you're not from Jews, you can convert to Judaism.
So there's a question here that says,
loud.
Okay, I'll try to be as loud as I can without the mic.
I can repeat the question.
And
yeah.
I'll
repeat the question.
The
rabbi, yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah.
There's a question about the subject of superiority of Jewish nation. Where does it come into the context of all this conflict?
Well, you see, that's a very good point. It says in the Torah, as I mentioned earlier, it says God said to the Jewish people, "V'atem tiyuim amlechas kehanim v'goy kodesh." Before the God gave the Torah to the Jews, He said to the Jews, "You should be to me a holy nation, a king, amlechas, a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation." In other words, they accepted priesthood, 24 hours to serve God, requirements. So it's an elevation. It's an elevation because they're doing the priestly work. So we believe it's an elevation, but it's an elevation when you're serving, because you're serving God, you made yourself close to God. But not what the Zionists want to take pieces out and say, oh, we're, it's out there, and God gave it to us, it doesn't belong to the Palestinians. We're the elevated people, it's a misuse, misconstruing what the truth is and so forth. That's not what it means. Obviously, if somebody's a serving God, a holy man, he's a holy man.
Thank you very much. There's a question that I think is a very important question. It says, do you think a global reaction in the future could come like what happens in World War II, Hitler confusing the Jews and react to Zionists and then Jews, and both of them suffer alike?
Yeah, first of all, I'm not a prophet. I have a rabbi, a very distinguished, an older scholar. We consider him a very big holy man, a tzaddik. He says, be careful. He always says to me, be careful. We're not politicians. We're not. You just state the truth of what the Torah Zionism is. If people ask you questions, that's theory or political things, or, you can be just as well right as you could be wrong. And you don't have no right to say. I can state my opinion, humble opinion or something, but that's not. I'm not a prophet. Unfortunately, I should be holy. We believe altogether that today there's no right on that level. But whatever, the point is, I don't know what will be. But one thing we do know, we pray every year in our high holy day prayers and others that God should put into hearts of kings and leaders that they should want peace. Because God sometimes puts into the hearts of leaders that they should want war. And people die and suffer. So we, as on the high holiday prayers, it says we ask, and people, it's a very, very heart rending prayer. We say that who will die from it's a sing song. It's a very mournful prayer. We say, who will die from hunger? Who will die from choking? Who will die? And we pray that people, God should give into the hearts of kings and leaders that they should want peace and not war. We don't know what will happen. We do know that Zionism is a tremendous danger. It brings, God forbid, we have a tape, but you don't know Yiddish, unfortunately, but Yiddish is what the language we speak amongst ourselves. It's like sort of like German. Our rabbi, who was the chief rabbi of Judaism, who created the Williamsburg sort of section in upstate New York, Rabbi Teitelbaum, verse member, you can hear he bangs on the table like 40 years ago it is, and he's saying, who knows how much bloodshed this state will bring? How could you celebrate such a terrible thing? It's the rebellion against God. He's speaking not to celebrate the state of Israel. Who knows what it will bring? We can only pray to God and ask that it shouldn't bring to calamity and tragedy. Who knows what it could bring to?
Thank you very much. I think you already had this one question here that says, what's your view of what happened in Lebanon last year, and what's your view of what Hezbollah was doing there? You had this right. That they were defending the land. So there's a question here that, do you think that the Arab Muslim won the war this summer in July between people and Israel. I want to phrase that. What is the impact of that?
Right. Well, first of all, unfortunately, maybe in Iraq also, people don't know. I mean, it's mind-boggling how many people, until today, and who knows in the future, from radiation and different things that they're going to suffering in Lebanon, and a few months bombing, and people forget it, and everybody eats their ice cream or whatever they eat the next day, you know, and people forget what the tragedy, what happened to the Lebanese people. And unfortunately, this is what Zionism did. I mean, there's no words, like I say, really to discuss this tragedy was done to these people and for what reason, what political gain they had by doing it and what did they want to accomplish. They weren't successful. I mean, they got a bloody nose from it, but that's not the point. The point is, what do I gain because they got a bloody nose from it? You know, that they got... The fact is that so many people suffered and family members. You know, people go home and think people died. What about the people who got maimed? What about people who lost their parents? You know, I mean, it's tragedy. What will accomplish that these... You know, they definitely, I mean, lost their, you know, their sheen. By that attacking Lebanon there, because they had such a it went so bad for them. But that's, like I say, it's just just an ongoing one other link in a chain of wrongs that are being done, and who knows what the result will be.
So I think you're almost in the middle of the question and answer. There's a note that again, you want to show our appreciation and thank for you for coming all the way and doing this work of education and message of brotherhood that you have. There's a question about the religion of Judaism. It says that is there an easy to read and understand Holy Torah and also a Jewish prayer book?
Yeah, I mean, today, thank God, I mean, when I was young, it was very hard to find good English translations because it was made by sometimes non-religious, or they really messed it up. But there is good translation. Art Scroll is a good, is a company that does very, very solid. And now, it's a conglomeration of many different writers and stuff, but they're careful, they're orthodox. That doesn't mean that they're all non-Zionist, so I mean, I'm not giving them all, you know, my stamp of approval, but as a general rule, they're careful, they're true to the text, and they write, you know, and they with the explanations and so forth. It's a good, so you have the written law, the oral law. They have many books, the books of the prophets, according to the Jewish understanding with the commentaries. It's very good to study that.
To follow up to that question, this would be, could you tell us about Talmud? Is it a religious text that Jews believe in along with Torah? Is it different than Torah?
Right. We believe when God gave the Torah on Mount Sinai, it was given by the five books to Moses, there's many commandments there, but it's written in very short terminology. It's very, for instance, I'll give one example that I give always. I say, it says in the Torah that we have to wear tzitzis. It says there's a verse in the Torah, it says you have to wear tzitzis. Tzitzis is on the corner of a Jewish man wears this. It's a four-cornered coin, he has to wear it. But it doesn't explain what it is, it doesn't explain anything in the Torah. So how do you know what to wear? How do you know this? You have to wear phylacteries, tefillin it's called. Every Jewish, you maybe saw it, the black straps, and maybe saw pictures by Hitler. They show pictures how they took the Jews on the street, they put them on. It's a language, but again, it doesn't say, it just says in the Torah, a Jew has to wear this. It says in the Sabbath, you're not allowed to make a fire on the Sabbath, but that's so complicated, so many more things involved. What God, so that's called the written law, and orally, the oral law is what God spoke to Moses and explained all these commandments. And it was written in the form of Mishnah, which you have a common word also, the Mishnah, and then later it was expanded in the Talmud. So the Talmud is a religious person follows the teachings of the Talmud. All the laws come out of that. So it's one and the same as the written law, the five books of Moses and the books of the prophets by a religious person. If somebody says he doesn't obey the Talmud, then you know he's not a religious person. Once I say that, so people will ask, how come the Talmud says such things that look so bad and it gets such a bad rap? It's because if the Talmud is 20 volumes, anybody look at the set of Talmud, it's very big, and it's constantly rebuking the Jewish people, and it's written many parables, for like prophecies also, it's many, much parables, very interesting things there. For instance, it's called the Talmud Babli, it was written in Babylon, Iraq. And it says over there, if you're not living in Israel, then it's like you're serving idol worshiping. And who wrote it? The rabbis in Iraq. So in other words, they're writing about themselves bad. And this is, in other words, so and and My rabbi, who I mentioned earlier, Rabbi Beck, he should be healthy, I mentioned earlier, said to me, look, he said, people ask questions about the Jewish rulers, and it looks like this, it looks like that. The fact is, we lived in Muslim countries. We were next door neighbors. We were the best of neighbors. They were supporting each other in business, and everybody lived together, and they were considered respectable people. Now, if the Talmud would be so bad, they say it is, how are we able to coexist? Because it's not true. Just like the Muslims, and in Islam, you have, the Muslim society is being terribly vilified, and so we turn around, we say, step back. Don't ask, people who go on talk shows, I have friends in New York, different people who speak many times and spoke to, as representatives of the Muslim community. And right away the talk show host starts saying, okay, so explain me this verse in the Quran, explain me this, explain me that. And they start trying to answer why they're not anti-Semitic. I said, you're making a mistake. You're falling into that trap. Say, I'm not getting into that issue. We have a difference of religion. There's certain things that you need explanation. The fact is, did we live together in peace? What happened that this peace stopped? Don't, you're trying to get us entrapped into this ploy that it's a religious conflict. The Talmud has things that seems very hard to understand. If I say if you would study it further, you would find that it's constantly rebuking Jews, calling them the worst names. But it's a reason. It's with a parable. If the prophets are written about. In the prophets, it says that they did certain sins. We're talking about very holy men that did basic sins? No. It means it has its parable form. You have to study that. One thing, look at the end result. Step back and look at the end result. How are the Jewish children that brought up, I'm not talking about Zionism, they're brought up to respect the neighbors, to be sympathetic, compassionate. And that's what the Talmud teaches us that. It's something we have to study. Unfortunately, because of Zionism, Judaism has been stained, our teachers have been stained, Muslim people have been stained, everybody, like mentioned at the beginning, everybody is suffering. It's tragic because of a simple political issue called Zionism.
Thank you very much. I'm going to limit the number of questions I'm going to ask in the next 5 minutes, and I would like to ask you to also limit the answers to 1 minute each.
Try, so yeah.
Asking as many questions. I'm not going to be addressing all of them because also I've been addressed via other questions. One question that I think is already addressed, but I want to briefly mention it, that you mentioned that you talked to the you go to the mosque and go to all these other. Are you going to churches as well to get the majority of the population here?
Right.
This?
Churches we're not allowed to go into. A church, because they have a form of deity, so we're not allowed to go into a church. I have spoken to church groups when it was in a hotel. They came out to a hotel, and then But I'm not. We're not allowed to, as a Jewish person, go into church. We're allowed to go into a mosque. We're allowed to go to Muslim centers. Not a problem, because we all believe in serving one God. We're not allowed to. The law is not. If you find modern Jews going there, it doesn't mean because it's permissible. It's because they're breaking the law, basically. So that's the story. So we can't go. It's unfortunate. I mean, we shouldn't say it's unfortunate. God is perfect. His laws are perfect. We have to obey them. And if you think you can't accomplish a great thing, don't try to be smarter than God. Follow God's laws, and you'll accomplish what has to be accomplished.
Okay, on that note, I want to ask this important question because it's kind of maybe explain the mentality of Zionists. In Islam, we believe that the oppressed should speak up and fight back appropriately. Is this not what Zionists claim they are doing to get the rights of the Jewish people? How do you explain, your philosophy that this is not correct?
I'm going to have to ask that question to repeat, but just one other word. Interfaith dialogue, I went to a university just recently, and the guy got up there, supposedly a rabbi, and he says, well, he accepts Christianity, accepts this, I very proudly, that's what interfaith is. You don't accept it, you're not tolerant. So I said, you got it all wrong. That's not Judaism. Interfaith dialogue doesn't mean that we should make concessions in our religion. It means that we can live together practicing our religion, we can live together in peace. What you're doing is falsifying your religion, and you're sinning against God if you're going to drop your religion. You're not doing God a favor by having interfaith if you're going to drop your religion. Now that other question you have to repeat.
The question is that there is a justification that the Zionists make that what you're doing is in return of what all the injustice that has been done to.
Right.
We have to protect ourselves you have to create a country.
Right.
And that's what we are doing.
Yeah. I'll repeat the question. In other words, Zionism is condoning what they're doing because they suffered so much, therefore they have a right to get back there, to take a land and so forth. It's totally flawed. First of all, nobody, again, like I said before, the Judaism, it belongs to God. It's God's religion. It's not theirs. They're not the owners of the religion. They have to comply to the religion. If they don't like it, God forbid, I don't want to say they should leave the religion, but they're leaving the religion. They can't just decide Judaism needs, if they want to go away and drop their religion and do something else, they're sinning, but leave us alone. You can't say they're going to pull in Judaism to oppress another people because Jews should get that. It's not your religion to deal with it, manipulate it, and do with it what you want. And it's God says that you can't go back and take over a land. It's clear we're forbidden to take a land, even if it would be, like I say, empty. You can't oppress another people. And then secondly, so where do you have a right because you suffered that you can punish another people? Like I said, because you have a land, so why did they pick Palestine? They should have come to Manhattan. They had the Diamond Center and stuff. Take over Manhattan. You say maybe they take it over anyway. But seriously, they could take. And would anybody in America agree to it? Would people in Manhattan agree that they should take it? Because it's only a little island after all. America's so big, you have so many other places to go. It's ridiculous. It's totally flawed. It doesn't make any sense. It's just a wild human when they argue with you. It's if you think about it, you step back and you try to be calm with them. You know, they go, a lot of times they don't even argue properly. Their mode of arguing when they get is usually so in your face. In other issues where they have debates, if you notice, they're civilized. But when you start speaking about Zionism, all of a sudden they become like madmen, and they lose their civility and respect. Even any human being has respect for a scholar. They lose their respect, and they're wild. Their claims, they do it with such, they intimidate. But if you step back and think, it's so ridiculous, this claim, because you suffered, you could take a land, or because the Arabs have so many lands, you can take this land. What does that mean? It doesn't make any sense. And it's not Jewish, and it's forbidden.
Thank you very much. I want to stick to the 1 hour for question and answer that we had. And a lot of these questions, some of them are talking about religion of the Middle East. They have this issue that the rabbi came here to talk about, so I'm not going to ask it. We can later on ask it personally, because in the interest of the group here. And there is a couple of questions that's off topic that I would also can ask later on if you want. So with that, we'll end the question and answer session with a salawat and a thank for Rabbi for his trip here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.